Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. The most entertaining hour of your Thursday afternoon is here. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am the man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin, on this December 28th, 2017. And you know what that means, right? Oh, boy, I know many of you Spartan fans are waking up like it's your own green and white Christmas. Because today is the day that you have been waiting on for more than a year now, seeing as though your Michigan State football team will play in a bowl game. Of course, Michigan State did not make the bowling dance last year, and this year they earned a bid to partake, I should say, in the Holiday Bowl out in beautiful San Diego, California. The Spartans will play the Washington State Cougars tonight at 9 p.m., So I must say, Spartan fans out there, get your coffee ready, all right? Get that coffee maker ready because you're going to be up pretty late. That game will end. I can pretty much guarantee that it will end sometime after midnight. Look at me. I'm already drinking coffee right now, revving up for it, all right? I'm going to be filled with caffeine throughout the entire day. And I'm pretty sure you guys are ready for this game. There has been a lot of buildup since it was announced that Mark D'Antonio's team earned that Holiday Bowl bid. And we are going to spend the hour previewing that very matchup. And we will invite to the show a dear friend of ours, Seth Newman from the Spartan Sports Network. Seth, of course, will be on the broadcast for tonight's game via radio. Seth has touched down out in beautiful San Diego, and he will be joining us to break down the X's and the O's of that matchup. He'll also talk about what Media Day was like as head coach Mark D'Antonio and head coach Mike Leach both addressed the media. I must say, I got off the air yesterday, ran to my office to check out the press conference after it was recorded, and not an eventful one. You know, I think you get to a point, especially when there's so much buildup for a bowl game. You get to a point where you're basically repeating what you said 2 days ago when previewing this matchup. The media is running out of questions. It's just like, come on, can we just play the game for goodness sake, right? So we'll have a lot of talk when it comes to the Spartans and the Cougars tonight at 9 p.m. You don't want to miss that. Also, as promised, I will address the Jim Caldwell Detroit Lions hot seat situation. You get my thoughts on that in just a moment, actually. Then on the back end of the show, you know it's Thursday, and each and every Thursday we love to turn back the clock and look at exactly what happened in sports history. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? We call it Throwback Thursday, and I'll briefly touch on what a man by the name of Rajon Rondo did for the New Orleans Pelicans last night, something that has not been done since 1996. Pretty remarkable. But hey, all of that while, of course, allowing you to be a part of the fun. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you would like to be a part of the show. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. We have the live stream up and running. Many of you already weighing in below that video. And you can tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the big Holiday Bowl matchup tonight. After a one-year hiatus from bowl play, Michigan State earned a 13th game this season after flipping its 3-9 record from 2016. Number 16, Michigan State, 9-3, 7-2 in the Big Ten, will face number 18, Washington State, also 9-3 on the year, 6-3 in conference in the Pac-12. In tonight's Holiday Bowl matchup, 9 p.m., you can view that game on Fox Sports 1 at the San Diego County Credit Union Stadium. And this is the Spartans' first trip to the Holiday Bowl and the Cougars' fourth, including a 17-12 loss to Minnesota. In the game last year, Michigan State closed the regular season with a 40-7 win at Rutgers for its second straight victory, while Washington State is coming off a 41-14 loss to Washington. The Spartans own a 5-2 record all time against the Cougars, but the teams have not played since Washington State won 23-21 all the way back when we were rocking Afros, right? Back in 1977. All right. Well, there were multiple bowl games that were in action and have been in action, I should say, since the start of bowl play. There were a few intriguing ones that took place last night, actually, that featured a few Big Ten teams. I'll start, though, with Southern Mississippi falling to Florida State. That was a 42-13 final. Iowa topped Boston College by a touchdown, 27-20. That was in the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, in the Southern Mississippi and Florida State game was on the Walk-Ons Independence Bowl. There are so many bowl games, 40-plus bowl games, far too many if you ask me, but that's a rant for another day, another time. Also, Purdue got a win in the Big Ten, 38-35 in the Foster Farms Bowl as Purdue topped Arizona. And you also had Texas and Missouri in action last night as the Longhorns topped Missouri 33-16 in the Academy Sports Outdoors Texas Bowl. So there you have that, a brief update of yesterday's bowl game action. But get this, when it comes to the school down the road and Jim Harbaugh's University of Michigan football team, things got heated when the Michigan and South Carolina players were supposed to be engaging in a friendly match of bowling at a bowling alley. But things just kind of went crazy. I don't know if you guys saw the video of this, but it went viral on social media yesterday. But there was a kind of like an altercation and a brawl that broke out at the bowling alley. I guess these two are ready to get it on in the Outback Bowl already, right? But yeah, Michigan and South Carolina players were involved in a bit of a controversy yesterday. A Michigan player said a South Carolina player initiated trash talking with U of M running back Karan Higdon. And then it went from there at Splitsville Luxury Lanes shortly after South Carolina won the team event. Now, members from both teams were gathered in the middle of the bowling facility when the trash talking began. One Michigan player said after the incident that included some pushing and shoving, but mostly they just jawed at each other. Quote, things are going to get real Monday. Of course, referring to the Outback Bowl between Michigan and South Carolina that will be played on New Year's Day. Oh, that's fun stuff, right? All right, the New Jersey Devils won their fifth straight game on Wednesday, topping the Detroit Red Wings 3-1 at the Prudential Center in Newark. Their power play fell five times for the Wings on Wednesday. Nico Hischier, he was the number one overall pick in the 2017 draft. He scored twice in the first period. Justin Abdelkader, MSU's own, scored his sixth goal of the season during the second period. Sammy Vatanen, he found an empty netter with 22.9 seconds left in regulation. The Wings are back at it tomorrow night, hosting the New York Rangers. And the Detroit Pistons will take on the Orlando Magic tonight at 7 p.m. at the Amway Center out in Orlando, Florida. You can catch that game on Fox Sports Detroit. Despite their victory against the Indiana Pacers, there was bad news for the Pistons, winners of five of their last six games, as point guard Reggie Jackson, of course, he suffered a sprained right ankle in the third quarter. He is scheduled to be evaluated in 6 to 8 weeks. Ish Smith will now start in place of Jackson. Of course, that begins tonight against the Orlando Magic, against 7 p.m. there. And how about Rajon Rondo, who had a night? The New Orleans Pelicans point guard did something that hasn't been done in the NBA in 21 years and posted a bizarre stat line that will likely never be duplicated in the process. Check this, and I'm sure somewhere engineer Isaac Constance is smiling. Of course, this is his favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. Get this, this is what the stat line read for Rondo last night. 30 minutes, 2 points, 7 boards, and 25 assists. Are you kidding me? He did all of that in a 128-113 win over the Brooklyn Nets in what many will eventually look at, back at, I should say, and it will be known to go down as the most Rajon Rondo of Rajon Rondo stat lines, right? The dude can really pass the basketball. Now, obviously, the 25 assist column is what's remarkable here. It's a career high for the prolific passer that sets a franchise record with the Pelicans. In case you forgot, Chris Paul played a long time for the Pelicans and held the previous team record with 22 assists. The last player to log 25 assists was Jason Kidd, way back when I was 6 years old, back in 1996. Now, for reference, that was the midpoint of Bill Clinton's stay in the White House. Pretty remarkable stuff. Congrats to Rajon Rondo. If you have not seen the highlights of that game with Rondo, oh boy. Wait till after Current Sports to watch it, all right? Lock in with us, though, here. All right, and last but not least, the Detroit Lions signed quarterback Alex Torgensen to the practice squad Wednesday, getting a head start on their futures contracts for 2018. Now, Torgensen, he takes the place of Brad Kaya, who is on again, off again. His status with the team is off again, this time maybe for good. Kaya is a sixth-round pick out of Miami. He left the Lions practice squad to sign with the Indianapolis Colts on Tuesday. The Lions tried to sign him to their 53-man roster, but the rookie decided to leave for his third team this season. Those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR.
I did have a pet raccoon. I would like to have a pet raccoon again. It's tough if you travel. They're quite a bit more maintenance free than you would think. They do like shiny objects. I kind of would like to have a pet raccoon again. But you know, bouncing around the country, it makes it tough. There's the time when they hit kind of raccoon teenage years, and it's time for them to head off and into the sunset. But no, it's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, and in some ways, every bit as maintenance free as a dog or a cat, you know.
Oh, happy Thursday, ladies and gents. And you can't help but chuckle every time you hear that bite. As I noted, yesterday was the final media availability for head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, and the head coach of the Washington State Cougars, Mike Leach. I tell you what, Mike Leach has to be one of the most entertaining coaches I have ever seen at the podium. He is so funny, he's so witty, and he's just him. You know, it's not a facade. He's not trying to, you know, become clickbait on social media and go viral. It's just Mike Leach being Mike Leach. Quite the contrast to what Mark D'Antonio is up at the podium, even though I tell you what, Mark D'Antonio will get you with his dry wit from time to time, all right? He's a very funny guy, but he doesn't show it as much as Mike Leach. I mean, Mike Leach, my goodness. So as I noted at the top of the hour, you know, you get to a point during these media availabilities leading up to a bowl game where that final media day availability is just like you're repeating what has already been noted time and time again the last 3 days. So Mark D'Antonio and Mike Leach didn't say anything that was breaking news or anything. I think what many of you wanted to know coming into that moment was the health of the starting quarterback for Washington State, Folk, and whether or not his throwing hand was okay. He was asked about it, and he said, heck, his nickname is the Kingslayer, all right? He's had something on that hand the entire year. He'll be fine. He's ready to go. You can make your assumptions from there, all right? So we'll really get a chance to see just how healthy the starting quarterback for Washington State is when they get it on tonight at 9 p.m. But other than that, it was the same old when it came to what, you know, what Mark D'Antonio and Mike Leach were saying concerning the game. They are just ready to play. They are ready to get out there and get it on. There has been a lot of buildup, but, you know, That was a snippet from the press conference. This was the most entertaining part of the presser, as Mike Leach kind of went off on how he had a raccoon as a pet growing up in Wyoming. The raccoon was named Bilbo Baggins from the famed movie The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings franchise, right? And one of the reporters asked Coach Leach about his time growing up with a raccoon as a pet. And you got that golden bite from Mike Leach. How hilarious is he, man? So he went on that rant, and, you know, hey, it's in many ways, a pet raccoon is as low maintenance as a dog. Now, I don't know that because I've never had a pet raccoon, but I do have a dog, and I must say it is a bit of work, okay? So maybe I need to trade in my dog for a raccoon. No, I would never do that. I love you. I love my dog back at home, my little Chibale. That's my dog's name, all right? I have a Morkie. Very manly breed of dog, Morkie, Maltese and Yorkie mix. So that was Mike Leach. We want to start this show by having a bit of fun. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And you know what? On tomorrow's Current Sports, I want to do something a little bit different because the big game is tonight, Michigan State and Washington State. Going at it in the Holiday Bowl, the 40th annual San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. That's the official name of it, right? Michigan State going at Washington State tonight. And I want to hear your thoughts on this game. I want you guys to call in and weigh in on this matchup. I want to know who has the edge in this matchup. And what do you think this game will mean to Michigan State if they do hit that double-digit win goal that Mark D'Antonio and his troops have their eyes set on? What will this mean for this season? Because, you know, I went on the air yesterday and I said, look, I mean, Michigan State already has surpassed everybody's expectations. You go 3-9, you go 9-3. Nobody saw 9 wins for this team this year. I went on the record to say 7. I thought they'll get 7, but not 9, and not have an opportunity to get 10 double digits. You know, hit double digits in the win column this year. It's already remarkable. So regardless of what happens tonight, for me, if Michigan State happens to get blown out, all right, it's already a successful year for Mark D'Antonio and his team. But what do you think this will do for the program if they do win? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I also want you all to call in and give us a score prediction.
because you know what? I'm going to do a little bit different on today's current sports. If you call in and give us a score prediction just for this hour alone, if you call in and do that, the caller who will end up with the closest prediction will end up winning a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's Michigan State men's basketball game as Tom Izzo Spartans will host Cleveland State at 6 p.m. So call in. We'll get your information. I'm going to put Karell Vega behind the glass, our current sports fill-in engineer for the week. I'm going to get you a little bit busy here, Karell, depending on how many callers we get. Are you down with that?
I can't wait. I'm excited.
So I want you guys to call in. Give us a score prediction. And this gives you also added incentive, as if Spartan fans need more incentive to watch tonight's bowl game between Michigan State and Washington State. But if you call in, give us a score prediction, the caller with the closest prediction will win a pair of tickets to check out Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team against Cleveland State tomorrow. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And already I see Karell picking up the phone. You know, let's take some callers right now. I see we got Mike from Saginaw on line one. I don't know if Mike wanted to chime in and give us a score prediction for the tickets, but heck, Mike, we haven't heard from you in a while. Happy holidays. How you doing, Mike?
How you doing, my man? Happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you. Before we get to the game, man, you know Combat Jack with the podcast, he passed on and everything. So I just want to give a shout out. He interviews a lot of rappers and everything else.
Oh wow, okay.
And if you really into rap music and stuff, you check out the Loudspeakers Network. They have all these podcasts. They talking about rappers and stuff. It was really interesting. I was listening the other day about Big Sean and Kendrick Lamar, and it was really good, man.
I'll check that out. Okay. And you know I'm a big fan of both of those guys.
Loudspeakers Network, do that.
All right. Now, what's your thoughts on the game, Mike?
You know what I think about this? Going to be a high scoring game, but I think Michigan State's going to win. It's going to be like 42-38.
Wow, you're going high scoring here.
Well, it's going to be real high scoring. And here's what I think is most important about Michigan State's football program. I think after the controversy after last year, I think by winning this game that the program will be back on the uptick again, because I said, you know, it's going to show the recruits that they're coming in that D'Antonio is really – that Michigan State is going to get back to once they level what once was, you know, going to January 1st bowl. So I think that's really is really good for the program, you know, because ending your season on a winning note after all the adversity they face in the off season. So I think it's really because I think
this definitely provides some positive momentum. If Michigan State can get this win tonight, this provides some positive momentum going into next season without a doubt. And you better believe it. You know, it does have a bit of an impact when it comes to recruiting as well. When Mark D'Antonio, when his coaching staff travels and talks to, you know, numerous young men across the nation that are debating on taking their football talents to Michigan State University, the fact that Mark D'Antonio can say, hey, man, we do have a bowl win. We're coming off a season in which we do have a bowl win under our belt. That adds a little flavor to it as well when it comes to the recruiting trail. Mike, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
All right, caller number two. We got John from DeWitt. John, what's up, my man?
Doing good. Glad you're back. And we're thinking 31 MSU, 28 Washington State.
All right, so you got Michigan State. And that's more so along the lines of my prediction. I think it's going to be really, really close. Like a field goal will separate the two. I like that prediction, John. All right, we got you tallied down. We got your information, my man. And again, those who do call in, the individual, the caller with the closest score prediction will win a pair of tickets to check out tomorrow night's Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans take on Cleveland State. John, thank you so much.
Super. Thanks, bud. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, you know what? In just a moment, we're going to have Seth Newman on the show of the Spartan Sports Network. Seth is out in San Diego, and he's going to help us preview from an X's and O's standpoint tonight's matchup. But I do want to address this because I noted on yesterday's current sports that I wanted to get to it. But there's an added layer to this conversation as it concerns Jim Caldwell and his, what many people are predicting to be, his final year after this weekend when the Lions take on the Green Bay Packers. Regardless of what happens, many people feel like Jim Caldwell will be let go and Detroit will be embarking on a coaching search. Now, you know, I want to address a certain article here that has added another layer to this whole conversation. Now, I want to start by saying this. You know, the race card. You know, the race card is one that's sometimes played as a joke in unnecessary circumstances. All right, and what I mean by that is, I mean, I can recall numerous times growing up with my homies from Detroit joking whenever we were on the wrong side of luck, we would say the phrase, quote, "It's because I'm black." That would enter our lips, okay? Leading to a laugh. A predicament like, you know, I remember one time, you know, my homie Sean, he locked his keys in the car and joked, "Oh man, this is happening to me because I'm black." You know, you scuff your new pair of Jordans while walking down the street. It's because I'm black. Heck, I remember when my friend, you know, he joked when he dropped his phone in the toilet when we were in college one afternoon, completely ruined his iPhone. He proceeded to pick it up out the toilet. He walked to the living room to stare at all of us while saying, "You guessed it, it's because I'm black." You know, it's a joke from time to time in the African-American community aimed at taking the edge off of the racial disparity that African-Americans experience on a far too often basis. Again, we call it using the race card. And I'm sure you've heard it many times before. Sometimes that card has legit validity to it, while in other instances, like some of my homies back in the day, it's nonsensical. It's a joke. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Joseph Hayes of the Times Herald out in Port Huron, Michigan. I got a message for Joseph Hayes. Joseph, this is just plain old being nonsensical. Stirring a pot that really has nothing in it. Hayes, again, of the Times Herald in Port Huron, he alleges that Jim Caldwell's hot seat is tied to racism. And when reading the article, it kind of took me aback because I was just going to sit here and just I read through it and I said to myself, okay, how are you going to back this up? And it just kind of combed through just briefly here a few direct quotes from the article. I'll start with this graph, quote, "That is why it has been so difficult to watch how Detroit Lions coach Jim Caldwell has been treated. Caldwell became the first African-American coach in Detroit Lions history when he took over in 2014. What has followed has been historic success for the Lions and plenty of disrespect from fans and local media. Let's go back to 2014 when Caldwell took over. The Lions had just missed the playoffs the past two seasons, winning 11 games total. Prize quarterback Matthew Stafford was seen as a bust by many Lions fans, while others thought he was regressing under former coach Jim Schwartz. In stepped Caldwell, among lies and erroneous media reports that said the Lions had settled for him after striking out on the coach they really wanted. It was a fitting start to the overall negativity Caldwell would experience in the years that followed. In his first season with the team, Caldwell led the Lions to their second-best record in franchise history, 11-5, back in 2014. He was one crazy picked-up pass interference call away from leading the team to its first playoff win in two decades. But he never had a honeymoon. He goes on to say, and you get the gist, you get the mood of this article. He goes on to say this is what Hayes goes on to write. Quote, "This is before the Lions lost their starting left tackle for half of the season and went on to start around a dozen offensive line combinations. With a clear lack of talent at running back and on the offensive and defensive lines, fans still expected the Lions to take a big step forward this season? That's laughable. But that is what is expected of Caldwell. He has the best record of any Lions coach in the modern Super Bowl era, but that's not good enough. He won twice at Lambeau Field after scores of previous coaches failed to win even once. He turned Stafford into the most clutch quarterback in NFL history. He has developed a coaching staff that has several members who are considered future head coaches. He has developed the young talent on the roster in tangible ways. They are playing key roles. So again, Joseph Hayes of the Times-Herald in Port Huron, Michigan, alleging that Detroit Lions coach Jim Caldwell's hot seat is tied to racism. Hayes, as a fellow black man, I do admit, and I think any race for that matter can see, that there is something wrong when you evaluate the lack of African-American head coaches in the NFL. Prior to the 2017 NFL season, the Denver Broncos hired Vance Joseph, and the LA Chargers hired Anthony Lynn to be their respective head coaches. Those two coaches were the latest additions to a growing number of minority coaches in the National Football League. Heck, after the 2002 season, the NFL even instituted the Rooney Rule. If you don't know what the Rooney Rule is, this is what it is. I feel like many people have forgotten this. The Rooney Rule required NFL teams to interview minority candidates for vacant head coaching positions. At the time, there was one minority head coach. There's a problem with that, right? Over the next 8 years, that number grew, peaking in 2011 at 8. However, in recent years, the number had been dropping again, and there was growing concern that the pipeline was really drying up with the retirement of Tony Dungy, who had previously mentored a number of young minority coaches. And with so few minority coordinators in the NFL, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But after dropping to just 4 minority coaches in 2013, the number is again rising and is now once again back up to 8, including 7 African-American coaches. It's getting better, and the NFL has acknowledged that something is wrong when looking at the historical numbers. But let's keep it 100 when discussing Jim Caldwell of the Detroit Lions. The Jim Caldwell hot seat situation has nothing to do with race. It is about results. Caldwell's record is 35-28 in almost 4 full seasons with the Lions. His career record as head coach of Indianapolis and Detroit is 61-50. With a win Sunday, the Lions will finish above 500 for the third time in Caldwell's 4 seasons. He's led the team to a 35-28 regular season record during his tenure, qualifying for the postseason twice. But depending on the temperament of the fan base where you coach, the measurement, folks, for success is going to vary. I want to look at 2 examples really briefly here. Marvin Williams, he coached the Cincinnati Bengals from 2003 to just this past year. It's a long time. Going all that time without winning a playoff game. He went 0-7 in the playoffs and kept his job for that long. Hugh Jackson, who was a part of the Marvin Lewis coaching tree, I might add. Jackson is 1-20 as head coach of the Cleveland Browns. I was surprised they kept him around after last season, winning just 1 game. Lose against the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday, and they will tie the 0-16 Detroit Lions for the worst season in NFL history. He likely won't last after this year. If you win, you will stay. And I must say, in many ways, the career of Dennis Green, the late Dennis Green, reminds me of the Jim Caldwell situation. Green coached the Minnesota Vikings from 1992 to 2001. That's also a pretty long time. Through his first 6 years with the team, Green never posted a losing record, and the team failed to qualify for the playoffs only once. Initially, Green earned widespread praise for turning around what had recently been a lackluster franchise. However, as the team's fan base grew accustomed to regular season success, Green came under criticism for failing to advance the team deeper into the playoffs. Again, the temperament of the fan base. In 2001, the Vikings finished with a losing record for the first time in Green's decade with the team. The Vikings bought out Green's contract on January 4th of 2002 Assistant coach Mike Tice led the team in their final regular season game against the Baltimore Ravens and was eventually hired as the head coach. The temperament of the fan base. With a win Sunday, the Lions will finish above 500 for the third time again in Caldwell's four seasons. 35-28 regular season record during his tenure. Made the postseason twice with no wins, though. The last time the Lions won a playoff game was January 5th, 1992, against my Dallas Cowboys. Fans are tired of missing the big dance. Fans are tired of the losses once they do make the postseason. Fans are tired of the excuses. Fans are tired of the mistakes. Mistakes like constantly having to climb out of early holes in the game and having to rely on the heroics of your franchise quarterback, Matthew Stafford, to save your behind. Mistakes like having two straight games where you send out less than 11 players on the field to defend in critical situations. My bad is no longer a phrase that is acceptable for the Lions faithful. Jim Caldwell will no longer be the head coach of the Detroit Lions after this weekend against the Green Bay Packers. And it's not because he's black. It's because he did not get the job done. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite live to the show Seth Newman, Spartan Sports Network own Seth Newman. As Seth is out in San Diego, California, getting ready for the big Holiday Bowl matchup, Michigan State and Washington State, that and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We're doing something special today because tonight is the night Michigan State and Washington State will compete in the Holiday Bowl out in BEA, beautiful San Diego, California. Again, it's going to be a late kickoff. It's West Coast time. Late kickoff, 9 p.m. here, I believe. What is that, Coretta? It's like 6 p.m. there, right? It's a three-hour time.
6 p.m., yeah, 3 hours.
3 hour time difference when it comes to Cali and Michigan. So they'll be kicking off at 6 in Cali. It'll be 9 p.m. here. And again, if you call in, give us a score prediction. The caller with the closest score prediction will win two tickets to check out the Michigan State men's basketball team tomorrow as they host Cleveland State. We do have one caller I want to get to before I get to our guest for today's Current Sports. We've got Stuart from Lansing. Stuart, welcome to the show. What is your prediction, my friend?
MSU 27, Washington State 21.
27-21, Michigan State win. Stuart, thank you so much. Good luck, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to my man, Seth Newman. I want to preview this matchup now because when you look at these two teams, it's really hard to predict a winner. It's really hard to confidently predict a winner because I believe they're so evenly matched. They're both talented. They both went 9-3 to end the regular season, and now they both will compete against one another in the Holiday Bowl. We have Seth Newman, Michigan State football sideline reporter and pregame host at the Spartan Sports Network, who is out in San Diego, California. Seth, how you doing, my man? I know you must be enjoying the weather in contrast to what we're dealing with here in Michigan.
Let me tell you what, Al. I am doing way better than I was a few days ago. So I lost my voice for about a week.
No.
Couldn't whisper, couldn't even talk. So that was probably the best holiday gift I could have gave my family, was them not hearing me talk. And then my plane ride was 6 hours long, and I sat next to not one, but two crying babies.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what, Al? When I stepped off that plane and felt that 75-degree weather, all my problems just went away.
I'm sure they did, Seth. Well, and I tell you what, you know, I always say in this business, I was joking with Carell, you know, before we got on the air today, you know, because my voice was kind of going through something before 1 o'clock. And I told Carell, man, my voice is feeling kind of groggy, right? And without our voices, Seth, We don't get paid. This is how we make our living, dude. So I'm glad that you got your voice back, and I know you'll be a part of the broadcast tonight, right?
I sure will. I'll be on the sidelines. And, yeah, I was doing anything to get my voice back. I was drinking vinegar. I was thinking about doing some steroid shots for my voice. But I'm glad it's at 50% now. I at least sound like a 13-year-old boy, so I can at least talk.
Without a doubt. Well, Seth, we look forward to listening to you tonight, my man. And first off, I just want to ask you, you know, since you've touched down in California, I know the last media availability for both coaches, Mark D'Antonio and Mike Leach, was yesterday. Is there anything sexy that came out of that press conference in your eyes?
Well, you know, Mike Leach, I really wish Michigan State would play Washington State more often. He is just a character. Mm-hmm. He's a dream for the media, because we're kind of blessed with Tom Izzo because he's a quote machine and he's very honest. But Mike Leach is just on a completely different level. And one of the questions that was asked was Luke Falk, the Washington State quarterback who owns the Pac-12 record for, I believe, most passing yards and most passing touchdowns in a career. He's kind of been wearing a cast lately on his arm.
Right.
And so, you know, they were kind of asking him, you know, what's up with that? And he really didn't give a definitive answer. He just kind of goes, well, he's a Kingslayer. So I don't know what that exactly means. I don't know if he's going to be limited. But, you know, the rumor has it is that their quarterback is a little dinged up. But, you know, I'm sure Joe Bocci would like to personally sign his cast if he can get to him. So
yeah,
we'll see
yeah.
if Joe does that in the game.
Without a doubt. You know, and I brought up, you know, Leach referring to Luke Falk as the Kingslayer. Of course, that is a direct snag from the TV show Game of Thrones. Jaime Lannister, of course, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, but Jaime Lannister gets his arm chopped off. And he's like, you know, he's got one arm from there on. So I kind of chuckled at that because and he said that Luke has been wearing something on that hand the entire year. So Mike Leach, very creative, though, with the whole Kingslayer comment. But, yeah, he is ridiculously entertaining. We played the bite of him talking about the raccoon, right, his pet raccoon from when he was growing up in Wyoming. I saw, you know, a few days ago he had an interesting back and forth with a reporter who's engaged and he's about to be married, and he gave, like, this two-minute spiel giving him marriage advice. I mean, he is such a great personality. Now, when it comes to the game itself, Seth, you heard what I stated. This game, I believe, is going to be so close. It's really hard for me to predict the winner. I will before we sign off today. But, you know, both of these teams are so evenly matched. Who has the edge, if so?
Well, it's really funny because they are extremely evenly matched, but they have two very different contrasts and styles of how they play. Mm-hmm. You know, Washington State throws the ball like 75 times during the game, and Michigan State is a bit more conservative. They like to pound the ball. Both teams can really control the clock, but through different ways. Like I said, Washington State is going to pass it through the air, and Michigan State is going to be a little bit more conservative on the ground. But I think where it really comes down to is that Washington State's defense is much more finesse than Michigan State's defense. Washington State's defense likes to penetrate on the edges, and they like to do a lot of pre-snap movements. They're always moving around, so you'll see that before the snap. They're going to try and confuse Brian Lewerke. But I think if Michigan State's offensive line can kind of punch them in the mouth and let them know that this is Big Ten football. No, hang on real quick. Mm. My alarm keeps going off. I don't know.
Oh,
why,
does it?
Anyway.
Okay, got to handle that.
Yeah. But, yeah, so if Michigan State's offensive line can really, you know, shove the ball down their mouth, and I think Washington State, one thing that if you look at their schedule, they really haven't been able to come back if they get down early in the game. All three of their losses have been by like 20 points or more, so that when they start to lose, they get blown out. So if Michigan State can get maybe a 10-point lead, I think we might see, you know, Michigan State really hasn't blown out a lot of teams this year. They blew out Rutgers, so they're kind of used to playing that close game. But if Michigan State can get a 10-point lead, they may just play keep away from Washington State and run the ball and be content to run the clock out, you know, because Washington State, with that deadly offense, they're going to march down that field and really attack the no-fly zone. And I think this is a really fun matchup. This is a great matchup between two top 20 teams. And, you know, it doesn't get much better than the beautiful San Diego weather right now. So this is a fun game for fans of both teams to watch.
When it comes to Washington State, Seth, I have to ask, how badly are the Cougars going to be hurt by losing their two top receivers, you know, Tavarius Martin Jr., Isaiah Johnson Mack? They both combined for 130 catches this past fall. Both have been dismissed or have left the program since the end of the regular season. In what way will this hinder the Cougars' offense and really put a little bit of pressure on Luke Falk?
Well, you said it right there. That's 130 catches down the drain. They're not going to have that. But Mike Leach is not going to change the game plan. They're going to sling that ball around. And so how that changes the game is that instead of having those two experienced wide receivers, you're now going to have three wide receivers who are very young or who don't have a lot of experience catching the ball. And so they don't have that chemistry with Falk like the other two guys did. They may not run the proper routes that those other guys did. So you may see a little bit more of mistakes from the Washington State wide receivers. But that's not going to change the play calling of Mike Leach. He's going to attack Michigan State's no-fly zone. So Josiah Scott and Justin Lane better be prepared to see the ball come their way at least 40 times because that's Mike Leach. And so I think it definitely hurts the Cougars, but it's not going to change the game plan as far as how they try and beat Michigan State. They're going to go over the top, and whether Luke Falk can do that or not, we're going to see because he is one of the best quarterbacks to come through the Pac-12. So Michigan State's going to have their hands full no matter who's catching the ball for the Cougars.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Seth Newman live out in San Diego, California. Seth, of course, is a pregame host and sideline reporter for the Spartan Sports Network. He will be joining the broadcast tonight, and he does an outstanding job with the Spartan Sports Network. I'm looking forward to hearing the call from you, Seth. And, you know, piggybacking off of that, what you're hearing a lot in comparison of Washington State, in comparison to the Michigan State football schedule, is that Washington State reminds a lot of people when it comes to that air raid offense that Coach Leach loves to throw out. You just mentioned it, Seth. It reminds a lot of folks of what Michigan State saw against Northwestern. Those crossing routes, those short dumps underneath that led to a lot of big plays and first downs. What kind of adjustments do you think we'll see the Michigan State defense make in trying to slow down or figure out that kind of air-heavy offense?
Well, another thing that Washington State does really well in offense is that their running backs catch the ball out of the backfield a lot. You know, they only average, I believe, around 70 yards on the ground, so they don't run the ball a lot. But that's not to say that the running backs are not dangerous, because all three running backs that they have, I think, have at least 30 catches on the year. And so something that Northwestern did against Michigan State was Justin Jackson caught that ball out of the backfield. And they just couldn't get off the field on third down. They would do that little dink to Justin Jackson, and he'd pick up 8 yards and get the first down. And so I think Michigan State, you know, they're going to be paying attention to the running back coming out of the backfield maybe a little bit more than what they did against Northwestern, because Washington State's receivers are very dangerous, but their running backs are also dangerous as far as catching the ball. And so I think, you know, you're going to want – anytime you get pressure on the quarterback, that's a good thing. So Michigan State is always going to try to get pressure on the quarterback. So that's step number one. Step number two is you want to contain the running back and his routes. You don't want him to, you don't want him to get put on Chris Fry, who, you know, runs down the field 30 yards trying to cover a running back, because, you know, that's probably not going to work. And so I think those are going to be some adjustments for Michigan State moving forward. But, you know, they've had plenty of time to watch film and look at all of the different types of teams they played this year to come up with a good game plan for Washington State. And, you know, X's and O's, there aren't much better coaches than Coach D'Antonio. So I like to think that he's got faith for covering this dangerous, deadly passing attack of the Cougars.
All right, the run game, Seth. Michigan State failed to reach 100 yards and rushed for fewer than 3.3 yards per carry in five of its Big Ten games. Washington State, you look at Washington State, the Cougars are actually worse, finishing last in the Pac-12 in rushing offense at about 70 yards per game on the ground. And again, I think a lot of that has to do with the scheme of the offense. They love to pass the football, as you've noted many times, Seth. Will we see L.J. Scott get a bit loose tonight, or do you expect kind of just an average, you know, or below average, I should say, game for the Michigan State run game?
I would absolutely love to see L.J. Scott get loose. I think that's going to be a big key for Michigan State to stay on the field and not give Washington State a chance to have a lot of opportunities on offense. I know the more that Michigan State can run the ball with L.J., the easier it's going to be for Brian Lewerke to find receivers. And one thing that Washington State does is they create turnovers a lot. They can take that ball away, but they also turn the ball over. It's like they play hot potato with the football. Mm. So if Michigan State can get a turnover or two, I think that will really help. And I think you're going to see Michigan State, you know, run the ball between the 20s, including L.J. Scott and Gerald Holmes. I'd love to see Gerald go out and score another touchdown. I think he's been one of the unsung heroes of this team to really turn the offense around, not necessarily on field results, but, you know, he's kind of more of a locker room guy. He's really kind of put that character of toughness and attitude back to this Michigan State offense. So the ground game is going to be extremely important. And I do think we see LJ, you know, I would love for him to get 100 yards this game. And I think they definitely can do that because, like I said earlier, Washington State's defense is very much finesse. They're not a power defense. They're not going to stuff the run in the backfield. So if Michigan State can get some holes, that can only do good things for Michigan State.
All right, Seth, kickoff, of course, is at 9 p.m. here on the East Coast. It'll be 6 o'clock there. I know the team has been busy. We posted footage courtesy of the of Michigan State Athletics. We posted footage of the team gathering at the stadium and taking a team photo. They've gone to the Battle of the Bands and have had different luncheons to get the fan base down there ready for tonight's matchup. What is today like, though? What is game day like? Are both teams just kind of in their own little bubbles, watching film and just trying to get mentally prepared to go out there tonight? There's probably nothing scheduled today, right?
You know, it's crazy seeing the itinerary for this football team. Every 15 minutes from December 22nd when they arrived here,
right,
to kickoff is planned. And so, you know, they'll have their special teams meetings. They'll have their film session still today. They do a big team breakfast. They'll probably do, you know, like a walkthrough. And then, you know, they'll get some rest time. And, you know, just looking back on last year, they did not have this opportunity last year. And talking to the guys in practice before they left, they're just so excited and thankful for this opportunity to play in a bowl game, and a great bowl game at that, because they didn't have this opportunity last year. And you can, you know, it's loose around here. You can kind of tell that, you know, they're in California, they're having fun, and I think that's a good thing, because after last season, this team deserved to have a little bit of a break of, you know, they're having fun now, and that's good to see. And, you know, in the hotel, you're seeing a bunch of old Spartans. I see Jack Allen walking around, and
right.
It's crazy. I walked for about 2 hours this morning on the pier, and through San Diego, and there is just mobs of Spartan fans everywhere. And I'm not trying to be biased, but I think we're outnumbering them 5-1 in my count through my little walks.
So, oh my goodness, 5-1!
It's really good to see the support here. You can't go anywhere without hearing a go green or go white. So the atmosphere here is great, and I think for today, the players are soaking it in. They're going to do their final walkthrough before going to the stadium. And they're going to try and cap off 2017 with a W.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing if they can do that tonight. Seth, remind our listeners how they can listen to you and your outstanding team on the radio if they choose to do so, I should say.
Well, our pregame starts at 7:30 today. So if you want to tune into the pregame broadcast, I'll be your host. And tune into your local SSN affiliate. You can listen on our mobile app, SSN 24/7. or on our website, SpartanSportsNetwork.com.
My man, Seth Newman of the Spartan Sports Network. Seth, good luck tonight. Looking forward to checking out the game.
All right, Al. Thanks for having me on. Go Green.
All right. Carell, do we have some time to throw in a quick second break here?
I don't think so.
It may be too tight, right? Let's just end it. We usually end each and every Thursday's current sports with, of course, Throwback Thursday, where we look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports. Here we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, so what exactly happened on this particular date in sports? We have 2 minutes left, so I'll be quick. In 1902, the first professional indoor football game was played at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Syracuse defeated the Philadelphia Nationals 6-0. In 1958, the Baltimore Colts beat the New York Giants 23-17 in overtime in the NFL Championship. In 1975, the Dallas Cowboys won the NFC Divisional Playoff game against the Minnesota Vikings with a Hail Mary with only 24 seconds left. In 2003, the New York Yankees owner, George Steinbrenner, he was released from the hospital. The previous day, he fainted at a memorial service. Also on that same day, Jamal Lewis of the Baltimore Ravens, he became the fifth NFL player to run for 2,000 yards in a season. He ended the season with 2,029 yards. And also in 2003, a lot happening on that day in 2003, Priest Holmes of the Kansas City Chiefs, he set an NFL record with his 27th touchdown of the season. All right, much thanks to all of our listeners out there. Again, the caller who will end up with the closest prediction of tonight's Holiday Bowl game between Michigan State and Washington State earns a pair of tickets to check out Michigan State men's basketball tomorrow against Cleveland State. We'll announce the winner on tomorrow's Current Sports. Until then, much thanks to Seth Newman, all of you out there for tuning in and listening. Carell Vega, behind the glass. We back at it same time, same place tomorrow to put a wrap on the Holiday Bowl and to put a wrap on just this year of Current Sports. Crazy stuff, right? We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Take care and be easy, people.